Today's May 15th, 2024. Current Bitcoin price is $66,070.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not financial advice.
What's going on, Rick?
Oh, just pleasantly surprised by the price action today. How about you, Hans?
Yeah, I woke up this morning, and I mean, I think we've seen like almost a 7% increase today. I was not expecting it. And the funny thing is that we'll get into CPI a little bit later, but CPI came out super early this morning.
Yeah.
When I was looking at the news, like I didn't expect it till later in the afternoon, but... you know, there was quite a few different things that kind of went into play. Like, I didn't know how this week was going to play out. I was kind of worried about the weekend because the weekend price action was kind of weak. I think we had kind of pushed back up to, like, the 62 mark. Maybe we got up to 63, but there wasn't a whole lot as we were closing out the week because normally we get that weekend pump that pushes us up really high, and we really didn't get that.
Let's see, anything... Bitcoin's price action the past couple of weeks has been pretty boring.
Yeah, I would say even longer than the last past couple of weeks. It's been, you know, since we crossed the temporary high, right? Or, you know, kind of breached that previous high of 73, where we got up to that $73,000 mark. It's been kind of sideways and down. It's been really just boring, honestly. But, you know... We were looking at the flows earlier before we kind of started the episode, and we're seeing something that we haven't seen before either, right? Somebody's going right. Positive on their flows.
Indeed. After 4 months.
After 4 months of straight dumpage, they're finally starting to actually get a little bit of a turnaround. So Grayscale is actually starting to show positive inflows on their Bitcoin ETF, which... I thought they were going to have to just basically go bankrupt before that started to happen. Or not bankrupt, but the fund would have to be shut down, right?
It would just be depleted.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's kind of exciting. And then with kind of the news that we got today with the CPI print, like, obviously, like, everything's doing really well. Gold is up. Bitcoin's obviously up. The dollar is down. So, I mean, that's usually a good sign for... these types of assets. What are we looking at right now with our theoretical purchases?
Okay, so theoretical purchase, the $3,000 back in October came out to 0.0885 Bitcoin, and with today's price it's 5,847, so not quite back above this, you know, double price, but it's looking up. And for the first time ever since, you know, we did the second theoretical purchase right at the halving, which is close to 64,000. Yeah, I mean, if you put $1,000 down then, you didn't get a whole lot. It's 0.001564. But if for the first time since that purchase, it is positive. You'd have $1,033.
Nice. I'm not going to Vegas with that, but that's not bad. I mean, it's finally starting to, it turned the tide basically, right?
Right.
And then we also, I think last time we recorded, you said we were going to go below 60, I believe.
Yep, we had just kissed below 60 and brought back up, and I just saw the momentum going still down because it wasn't looking up. But I tell you what, every time it got close to 60, there was some bulls guarding that line, keeping it above.
If you look at some of the price action, there was too, because there were some... Like, it never got printed, but if you look at some of the wicks, I've seen some of the wicks from some of the daily charts, somebody was sitting down there just waiting to gobble up those prices, because it did. There were wicks that went pushed way, way down, and then it just got bought right back up. Somebody was sitting there waiting. Those bottom
viewers. So, I didn't expect that to happen. I thought there was going to be a point where it went to, I wouldn't say it was going to go below 55, but I thought it was going to go below 60. But every time it tried, somebody came in.
Yeah.
So, you know, and
Well, and you were damn sure of yourself on that thing too, right?
I was pretty damn sure of myself. But you know what? Hey, I was generally correct on the price action, and I also said by the last half of this month we're going to start hitting or start making that final bull march, the crazy one, the rocket ship, as it were.
Yeah, and I think we both had talked about that, where we were talking about like the middle of May is where we expected like the to where it was going to start to kick off. Now, and I don't want to be overly confident because that typically ends up it doesn't end up well for me when I am, but I will say this, like I think you're right in the sense that I think this could be the beginning of that kickoff. We need to see a couple of things. We need to see obviously we want to see the price keep above 65,000 today. We also want to see like if there's a good chance of a retest. And then right now, like everybody, like there's a lot of chart people looking at the chart right now, and there's an inverse head and shoulders on there. And I think we were kind of looking at it before we even got recording. And if that plays out, then we'd be looking at like a $75,000 price target for Bitcoin.
Yeah.
So I mean, and that could really legitimately start the rocket ship up. But we're still we've got to get we really want to see that breach of that 73,000 at some point soon. And I think if it breaches 73,000, like, I think there probably may be some resistance there. There may not be, or at least not a whole lot, because there's not a whole lot of people that have bought at that point. I don't believe. I don't think they had enough time to, because we didn't stay there that long. But some people may want to get out at that point. But I think what we really want to see is we want to see that print above, once we breach 83, get in 75, like I don't think 84,000 is that far out of the picture.
I don't either. That's the thing. Once the momentum's back on Bitcoin side, because we basically lost it for 2 months. I mean, it hit that 73, like mid March. Like what is? I think it was even like March 14th. And so 2 months of kind of just ebbing and flowing, and no upward momentum really. I mean, it would kind of go up, but then it would fall right back down. So if this is the final turning right here, this is the part of the cycle where it gets crazy. The rocket ship gets lit. So fingers crossed. We're not saying it's there yet, but signs are looking pretty decent.
Yeah, if this kind of momentum and this positive kind of news kind of continues, then that's definitely going to happen. But before we get into that, because there is some more positive news that we want to kind of go over, as there were some things that were revealed basically within the past, couple of weeks. But CPI numbers came in, and one of the big things today was CPI actually came in a little bit cooler than what they were actually expecting. I think they were expecting a 0.5% increase. Month over month from March to April, and we only got a 0.4. So it's not a nothing burger of kind of a news event, but at the same time, it's not negative.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I still know that everything just seems to cost more everywhere you go, especially food.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah, it also seems like there's a lot of cracks in the economy. And I know we've been talking, you know, the economy, it's been rough for a while, but you know, it just keeps chugging along. How long is it going to keep chugging along? At this point, I'm almost afraid to bet against it.
Well, and it's one of those things. I mean, you don't know what the U.S. economy is going to necessarily do. I mean, that's the unfortunate thing about, having the Fed and the regulators and, how much we've said before how much the CPI is just smoke and mirrors. And we were talking on another podcast the other day about the cost of like junior bacon cheeseburgers, right?
Right.
And it was. We used to be able to buy those for a buck. And now to get like five of them, it was like $16 to get like five junior bacon cheeseburgers. Like, that's ridiculous. Those are junior bacon cheeseburgers. Those are not big burgers.
They're like barely bigger than sliders.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm blown away. Like, I don't know, man. Like, I think we were talking the other day before when we went to Santa Fe. I think we were like, once upon a time, we had it all. We had cheap food, cheap gas,
We didn't have a whole lot of money, but it didn't seem to matter.
No, it didn't. Well, and that was the thing, is that we had outlets to where you could eat stuff cheap. And that seems to be going away. I saw a report the other day where McDonald's is talking about getting rid of free refills on their sodas.
Yeah, not surprising.
I mean, it's not cheap to go feed your family at McDonald's anymore. You used to be able to do that. Not that it was good food or healthy food for your family, but it was something you could do.
Yep. Well, speaking of other food news, I don't know if you heard yesterday that Red Lobster just decided they're going to close like over 50 locations just overnight.
Yeah, I've heard that they're considering Chapter 11, filing for Chapter 11.
Yeah, so, I mean, granted, Red Lobster and McDonald's are totally different ballgames, but I can't even imagine what trying to go to Red Lobster costs right now.
Oh, so Melissa and I went there not too long ago, and I mean, you can't get out of there for less than $100 almost just for two people. I mean, that's not buying much. I mean, that's, I think, maybe an appetizer and then two entrees.
Right.
I mean, that's not, it's not a cheap meal. I mean, and honestly, it's not really all that good either. It's not horrible, don't get me wrong, but yeah, it's just ridiculous. The other thing, too, is that core inflation actually has gone down. And they said it was the lowest print that we've seen in a while. It came in at 3.6. So, yeah, that's not bad. I mean, I suppose we'll see where this all kind of plays out. I mean, that's the big thing is that I think the markets in general wanted to see a lower inflation print just because it helps them feel like that we will get those interest rate cuts.
Yeah, if prices isn't going up as much, or
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, if that inflation level kind of stays in place, then, you know, then, or I don't know if we'll ever get back down below two. And if it does, I think it's going to take a little bit of time because it's got to be this month over month and year over year kind of prints, right? So, I mean, this is better than the 8 or 9% that we had there a year ago or whatever it was. But, I mean, do we still trust it is the question. Next thing that we wanted to talk about, though, one of the other things that I think is kind of helping, you know, kind of bolster this is there were a lot of filings that were coming out from the SEC from some major investment firms. You know, they have to do their quarterly kind of announcements of what's on their balance sheets and those types of things. And there's actually been a huge amount that's coming in. You know, a lot of people were saying that the institutions aren't buying, you know, this is just retail mom and pa kind of people doing this stuff. And there's actually quite a bit of purchases that have been going on in that first quarter in the first 3 months of this year. One of the big ones was the state of Wisconsin, actually. They made a disclosure of $161 million allocation for Bitcoin ETFs. You know, a big chunk of that, too, they're talking about is coming from pensions. So they're putting it on their pension funds. Hedge fund Millennium Management held roughly $2 billion across the spot Bitcoin ETFs. Hedge fund, which is led by Izzy Englender, and I'm probably butchering his name, held its biggest allocation in BlackRock iShares Bitcoin Trust, roughly $844 million. It also owned more than $800 million of Fidelity Wise Origin Bitcoin Fund and $202 million of Grayscale's Bitcoin Trust, as well as shares in ARK21 and Bitwise ETFs. Elliott Capital disclosed a stake of nearly $12 billion in BlackRock, and Apollo Management disclosed a quarter end of $53.2 million in ARK Shares 21, their Bitcoin trust. So there's some big numbers that are starting to come through. And then the one that kind of cracked me up is...
my favorite one.
J.P. Morgan, the snake oil salesman from around the way, Jamie Dimon. Like, it turns out that they own a bunch. And when I say they own a bunch, they own shares in almost every Bitcoin ETF that exists out there. And that was after he was at Davos talking smack. And I think we kind of covered that a little bit.
Yeah, he basically said that Bitcoin was only good for illicit activities. And
And that he didn't care. He didn't care what the price was doing. Yeah, he didn't care because he was buying it.
Yeah, no, he didn't care. He's like, he's probably done pretty well since he bought it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh, guaranteed he has. He is, yeah. Well, and so I think, I mean, obviously you can never trust what they say. You have to look at what they do. I think that's the ultimate rule. Like, if you haven't learned that lesson from these jerks running these big banks and stuff like that, that's the one thing you need to take away. Don't listen to what they're saying. Watch what they're doing.
I think that goes for a greater portion of humanity, but definitely when it comes to those snakes.
But, you know, I think what is kind of interesting, like when you look at some of these investment firms and, you know, the big thing with investment firms is they all talk about assets under management, right? And if, say, you have an investment firm that bought almost $1 billion worth of Bitcoin. As the price goes up, especially if we're entering like that booster stage that we're talking about, their second quarterly earnings, like their assets under management, are going to explode. So what happens to the other investment firms that didn't want to buy it?
Well, if they're hopping in now, we're not going to find out about it for another 3 months.
Right. But I mean, if the price goes up exponentially, like it's the game theory again of Bitcoin that goes into play.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And especially if, you know, all these people are actually seeing these real institutions jumping in. I mean, we saw the state of Wisconsin, but how many governments are getting into this game too?
Yeah.
That's kind of the really interesting thing. And, you know, with the Bitcoin ETFs and the, you know, the dwindling supply, I mean, we really could see supply shock. If that happens, who knows what's going to happen to the price?
Yeah, absolutely. And I from what I understand, Coinbase is having huge outflows from them. And not that people are selling it, but people are taking self-custody, right? So again, that limits the amount of, you know, if they were doing any paper wash trading or anything like that with Bitcoin, that limits their ability to actually do that. So I don't know. It's kind of exciting. It's really kind of exciting times because we've talked about this before where this is one of those things where it almost feels like a sure thing. But the question is, how patient can you be?
Right.
Because let's be honest, I mean, the biggest thing with Bitcoin is patience. If you buy and you hold, you'll do fine. But if you buy and then you sell because you're like, oh, it's not doing anything, like the people that were selling this whole time, you know, just dumping out because, oh, it's just going sideways, you know, whatever, going sideways.
60 days, if you've got bored or you got, oh, it's not doing what it's supposed to do, then yeah you're going to get wrecked.
Yeah, and then you'll get out and then next thing you know, like, It takes just a couple weeks and Bitcoin can be 2-3 times where it's at now.
Potentially, yes.
Yeah, potentially. Like, I'm not saying that it is, but you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, you miss those increased days and then Bitcoin does this crazy sideways action for the next 6 months again. And it gets boring. You don't want to watch that and you don't want to sit in that because you're like, I'm not making any money. Everybody told me I was going to make money. Well, you've got to sit in there and you've got to be patient. You literally just need to sit on your hands.
Indeed.
Just the only thing that is the wrong move right now is to have zero allocation, not financial advice.
Well, it looks like the institutions believe what you're saying too, so you don't have to listen to us.
Yeah.
Just look at what they're doing.
Yep. Yeah, pay attention to what they're doing, not what they're saying. So, I don't know, man. It's going to be kind of exciting. We'll have to kind of see where this goes. You know, is this going to be kind of just a... You know, the markets are just kind of excited. CPI came in a little bit lower. Or is this actually good to kind of begin that trend that we've been kind of waiting on, honestly? Because we knew it was going to happen after the halving. How long after the halving is the question. And it looks like we may be getting about that point because we kind of broke that resistance level we needed to. So,
indeed. Now, the question is this the beginning of the next phase, the rocket ship, as it were?
Yeah, I mean, and that's guess it's going to be the big thing is we're going to see, you know, kind of going into Bitcoin summer into Bitcoin fall, and that's usually when the biggest gains are made. Because all
exciting
last year
times.
All last year was basically Bitcoin spring. Now we're kind of in that Bitcoin summer phase, and that's usually like that. And then Bitcoin fall is another good time that you can make some really good money with Bitcoin, and then the winter comes. So.
Yep, that's going to be the theme of our, you know, sometime later in that cycle, winter is coming.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. Yeah, and when that happens, I mean, I'm horrible at timing that, so don't listen to me for that kind of advice, because I'm going to do a horrible job with it, because I always have. But, yeah, I'm excited to see where, you know, the Bitcoin summer leads us. I mean, I really do think 100,000 before the end of the year. I still hold true to that.
Oh, yeah. I think, it would have to be something disastrous for that not to happen.
Yeah. And that would be like on the low end, 100,000, like just to breach the six figures. But
yeah.
Yeah. Anything else you want to bring up today?
No, I think that's it.
All right. So still sign up for newsletters on our website at www.thebitbytepodcast.com/signup. And then you also have the links on there where you can get your digital hardware wallets. You can get your Ledger or your Alipal, and that helps just support the podcast and gives us a little bit of kickback. You are buying directly from the manufacturer. So I think that's it for us. Oh, and you also get your self-custody checklist when you sign up for the newsletter. So
you definitely need to do that.
Yep.
We're not against the ETFs, but we really believe in self-custody. You actually owning your own Bitcoin, so.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I've got some of the ETF shares, but I still have a majority of my Bitcoin holdings in as physical Bitcoin as you can get. So, thank you all for listening.
Bye.